On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, we take wasted space and turn it into a kid's homework space and family den. What to do with old fireplace parts. How to make an old fridge cool again. How to make grandma's house sell. Plus, what to do with an empty outdoor living space. Plus, we'll also teach an old workbench some new tricks. All that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to get our thing so I can have both of our images up on screen. And it was working just lovely before. I don't know. I must have pressed this button here. And there we go. There we go. Now we're on screen together.
Awesome.
If you're listening to this, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? But you can go to junkinwithjenny.com and you can actually watch all of these episodes so you can see visually what we are talking about. We'll do our best to explain them and create a collage of what we're discussing in your minds.
Yes.
A decoupage, if you will.
Okay.
Of images plastered to your brain parts.
Okay.
You like that? Decoupage of images plastered to your brain parts?
I don't think decoupage is a current term.
Remember, everybody was like decoupaging everything?
Everybody Mod Podges now.
What's the difference between decoupage and Mod Podge?
I don't honestly know.
You know?
I don't.
How do you not know the difference to this?
I thought it was the same thing. It's just maybe a certain product. I don't know.
Maybe it was one of those things where it's like, it's just easier to say. Mod Podge just sounds cooler, hipper, the more modern version of it. I mean, decoupage, correct me if I'm wrong, would be like taking, let's say, old wine bottle labels and putting them on an old trunk, right? And then like kind of affixing it and like sealing it so it's in there. Or you can use like really anything, old newspapers.
Sure.
And then creating, you know, just basically this like enameled in new covering for something, right?
It's kind of like pretty paper mache.
Yeah, is that kind of what, or am I completely off on that?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. It's just not that big of a thing right now.
Is Mod Podge more of a randomness of things, and decoupage was more like, okay, we're sticking with wine labels.
Or cherubs or whatever.
Yeah, and then Mod Podge is more like a bunch of, we're going to do wine labels and newspaper and family photos and, you know, everything that could be printed.
No, technically Mod Podge is the product that you would use.
Oh, okay.
It's basically
I thought it was a technique.
Special kind of glue.
Oh. Okay. It was a big thing for a while.
It was.
In the 90s. Early 2000s, really. I would say like
in more than 90s.
And we're seeing a lot of that stuff at like the you know like the crafty stores, if you will, mm-hmm. or like you go to a tourist town and it's the store that has, you know, all the kind of cool stuff you want to go check it out cuz it's just neat random things that you're not going to really find in other places.
Yeah.
Everything was that. It'll come back. Give it a couple of years.
It probably will.
What is the big thing right now? If you go into one of the stores, like, is there a theme that
as far as crafting?
Mm-hmm. I know what I know what I think it is. You tell me what you think it is.
I don't know what it is on. I think chalk painting everything.
Sure, I would agree with that.
Is kind of the thing right now.
I'm just thinking of like you go into the store and it's like, ooh, that's great. I want to buy that and hang that on my wall and remember this trip to Door County for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Like, what is the item that would be the
must-have souvenir?
A typical must-have souvenir of 2017 of this era, 2015 to 2020. What is going to be the thing that people are buying from these stores that is going to be the this is of that era type thing?
So it's like customized signs, maybe. You know where it says like. For here, you see them at certain stores, you know, it looks vintage and it says sure. Table Rock Lake, even though they you know, 4,000 of them are in different stores around the city.
Sure. And where it like identifies the location.
Yeah.
Because we kind of moved away from the love, you know, and then it looked like rhyme stuff, like love your lizard or, you know, things of that nature.
Love your lizard. I don't remember that.
I was just rhyming okay. L, you know, but it always has something to do. It would be kind of a kitschy thing, and that was a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Now it's still kind of that, but it's moved into more of the item or the area,
okay,
if you will. But I would say that sort of thing, but on a piece of reclaimed barnwood.
Yeah,
basically anything barnwood involved with something,
right?
Is I think kind of the thing right now, and I like it.
Uh-huh.
I really do. I'm just wondering if our kids are going to someday go back and go, oh God, that's from that time.
Sure.
You know, as everything happens.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah, I could see that.
And then they'll end up going, getting sick of it. And then they'll be like, oh, I really want that. That reminds me of home. And it'll inch its way back in. It's like the animated GIF images. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Remember like in the 90s where there was the dancing baby, mm-hmm. and it was, ooh, this is so neat. It's a little image you can just post and it's amazing. And now everywhere on social media, it's animated GIF images. But I think the generation that's posting them has no recollection of their existence mm-hmm. 15 years ago.
Probably not.
And how it just kind of trended out. But everything goes in phases. Anyway, let's jump into our first thing today. And by the way, if you have an item or a space you'd like some advice on, you'd like us to talk about here on the show, submit it to our website, junkinwithjenny.com. And we may feature it on a future episode of the show. Or if you have a product as well, we did that last week. We had a product from a listener that she was working with and said, hey, would you mind checking this out and reviewing it? And we did. And you can check it out on our website, a link to that product. It was a chalk paint and gel wax.
Which I still am loving the gel wax.
It's a cool product.
Yeah.
It goes a long way.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm going to have this jar for a long time. Yeah. The jar will probably go bad before I use it up just because I will use it on a lot, but it goes so far.
I was really surprised when you finished that the vanity last week and you said, look how much I have left. I'm like, did you even use it?
But I did.
You did. I mean, it evidently was used. It was very, and I thought, oh, this, maybe like half the jar was used. But no, it goes, a little goes a long way. So anyway, that can be all be done at junkinwithjenny.com. Okay, our first thing we're going to talk about today is the project that we literally, you just completed it today. Complete.
I still have my work pants on. Nobody can see that.
Uh-huh.
And I still have caulking on my pants that's drying from finishing this job.
There we go.
So it's that fresh.
We should have like an extra camera I can just grab. And then it's like, let's see the remnants. It's the chalk paint remnant cam. And we just kind of show what...
My work pants or my jammy pants or whatever.
What's been damaged.
Yeah.
So this is the space. I'm showing the image. It shows the couch. It shows the wallpaper wall. It shows the desk that was created. You want to talk about what we did here?
Well, when we decided to add walls to the basement, it inevitably made rooms. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, one room, which we've already featured, is your bar. But the other one, we weren't real sure what to do with. And I thought, you know, it'd be good as the girls got older to have kind of a quiet spot where they could go and study. I remember spending a lot of time in my room isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Studying, and I didn't want them to, you know, be in their room to study all evening and then have to go to bed. And they're just, if they're home, they're in their room. So I wanted kind of a nice spot where they could go and focus. But then when it's, you know, time to go to bed or time to do family stuff, it's, you know,
it's multifunctional.
It's multifunctional, but they aren't quite so isolated because it's right next to the family room.
Mm-hmm.
So this room is probably 10 by 12, so it's a decent size, but we also wanted it to double as a guest room if we ever needed somebody, you know, to stay with us or, you know, unexpected spend the night, ice storm, whatever.
Sure.
And the couch in there is a pullout, so we made sure the room was big enough that that could comfortably, you know.
Fit,
yeah. So anyway, really just wanted it bright and cheery. This room has no windows. And so I went with really, really light paint colors. I carried the white trim that's in the rest of the house on into that room and did an accent wall with that peel and stick wallpaper, which is not my friend right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably its last project in our house.
And we can talk about that in a moment.
We'd already talked about it last week.
We did, but if there's a listener listening this week that's never heard about it, we can touch on it.
Okay. But we mainly wanted it to have... just a real casual, fun feel. So went with, you know, very minimal anything, you know, didn't want to clutter it with a bunch of stuff or a bunch of toys or anything. Wanted it to be just real, real simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, two lamps, got a piece of wood at Menards. What was that? Probably $20 on that piece of pine.
Yep.
And some brackets and made a floating desk, had the chair already and added some, you know, kind of age-appropriate wall art, you know, as animals with donuts. I guess donuts and animals are a thing right now.
Yeah.
It's a deer that's got donuts in its antlers, and there's a squirrel eating a donut, and then there's this cute fox, and kind of went with animals that we see out our back window. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just tried to make it a real positive, happy place. And we have all been using that room so much now just because it's comfy.
Yeah.
You know?
What's really funny is we have much larger open spaces in this house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bigger TVs even in this house, you know, that are projectors and things of that nature. Yet we're all kind of gravitating to this tiny corner room. And I get it. You know, it reminds me a lot of when we were kids going into grandparents' homes of the day. And in that era, these were like 1960s type homes, mm-hmm. a lot of ranches. And what they had a room would be called the den.
Sure.
And the den was almost like, I mean, it today you'd call it a bedroom, an extra mm-hmm. bedroom. And probably most of these are used as extra bedrooms now. But the dens were always kind of like this. They had a couch, maybe a chair, mm-hmm. a television set in it. I remember our neighbor next door, she had a den. And that's where we watched a lot of Saved by the Bell and sure. Full House in that room and played Game Boy. And it was just a comfy little space.
Yeah. You know,
there's something to be said about having a tiny little space to all kind of gather in. I think mm-hmm. sometimes that's lost when you have the bigger open rooms and there's so much open concept with so many things now.
Right.
Where it's like, let's knock out that. And then we can see the kitchen and we can see all the way to the other living space. And it's just, it gets crazy. It's just, it's like too much and everybody can kind of wander wherever. Mm-hmm. You're forced to be close to each other. And if you like your family, that's probably a good thing.
I'm going to say something. It's a real yeah. assumption here, but I know it's true for us and mm-hmm. probably at least one of our children. Being a family that has OCD uh-huh. and a little bit of an ADD thing going on, for real, mm-hmm. open concept is not your friend if you have those issues.
Sure.
Because you see, you know, everything and the whole, you know, everything's so distracting. You can see what's going on in one part of the room, or if you've got one of those kitchens that opens into, you yeah. know, your formal living room and your front door and everything.
Yeah.
All I would do is sit there and think, I need to go clean that up.
Sure.
And I would never be able to relax. Our kitchen yeah. is very, you know, closed off. It's nice and large, but it's, yeah. it's closed off. So I think that's something with our personality types to have mm-hmm. that coziness, kind of isolated. It's something we need. And being that it is so decluttered, I think it really helps with kind of calming our sensory,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
There's just less things to distract you and go, mm-hmm. I should go do that. Like, oh, there's the fridge. I might be hungry. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I'm going to go look at the fridge.
Yeah.
There's a pantry. It's, you know.
There's too much.
There's too much. And this room just really, you kind of get in there and you're then going to be engaged in whatever you're engaged in. Mm-hmm. We put a TV in there as well. And I've kind of used that or created essentially the old video game stand there.
Sure.
And it's kind of fun with that. And you could do, you know, whatever you want with this, but this is, it's, I think the oldest TV we own. But it had a lot of inputs on it, which is great for old video games. And I literally, you can't see them within that that cabinet that it's sitting upon, or that TV stand that it's upon. But I have a Nintendo 64 in there. I have a PlayStation 2,
Atari
2600.
Old school consoles.
Xbox.
You've had forever.
You name it.
Yeah.
It's just loaded. And it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to go in there and play all these old games, mm-hmm. you know, with the kids. And the thing is, what's reminiscent of it is the setting. Mm-hmm. Because you think of the old settings you used to play these things in, this is kind of reminiscent of that. Minus having the nice old, you know, TV with the scan lines. Those sure. are gone. But other than that, it's fun. And I like that. It's a nice little place to spend some time with the kids and have some fun. And then they can study, too. You lock them in there and they just do your sure. homework now and you're not leaving until you're done.
Did you get a picture of the flooring in there?
You can see the flooring in there, yes.
That is carpet tile.
It is.
And it's not the carpet tile that is at, you know.
Carpet tile? That was color tile.
Color tile. Yeah. No, carpet tile. It's not the carpet tile that you would find name your residential or your commercial office mm-hmm. park, whatever.
No, it looks like regular.
It is. It is a plush residential carpet with a pad attached. And when you pull the back off this stuff, it doesn't feel very sticky. But mm-hmm. I tell you what, it's pressure sensitive. And that stuff, once it's down, it's going to tear up the tile to try and
pick it up. Yeah, I screwed one up.
I screwed one up too. And then you have to scrape off the adhesive.
Yeah, literally. Cause I was trying to get it in there and I was kind of off. It was my own fault. And then I tried to lift it and move it. And then like pieces of the carpet were stuck to the ground and ripped it out of the main piece. So buy a little bit extra if you need the carpet tile, but it really is, you know, it's a cost-effective way of getting carpet. There's no installation fees.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the tack strips along the sides of the room or anything. And it really, you know, right when you put it down, you will see the seams a bit more than you would of other carpet. You know, and the better you can bunch it together, the less you'll see it. But really, after a bit of use, that all just kind of blends together and you won't even notice it.
It's not something you're going to want to put in a bedroom or something like that. But for like a kid's playroom or this purpose, it was perfect. And, you know, it added that warmth to the room without putting... Mm-hmm. An area rug. It just, you know, I wanted something that was down and done.
What did it run for carpeting that room with the carpet tile?
It was under $250. I know that.
So, and if you were to do a carpet install with probably at least $500, right?
Well, you would spend probably that on product alone.
Mm-hmm. So then install $700, $800.
It could be. It just depends on the size of the room and the product and the pad. I mean, that varies. It's kind of like when people say, how much does it cost to advertise?
Just ballpark that size of room, that type of carpet, if it were not on a roll.
I had budgeted $500 on that. And I thought, when I saw this, because I didn't even know this was a thing until I was wandering around looking for carpet.
Yeah.
And I found that. I thought, I'm going to go with this and try it out, talk about it here. And if the kids ruin it, oh, well, it's for that space.
Sure.
So it's a Traffic Master product, so it's supposed to hold up pretty well and be easy to clean. So we'll see. I'll report back in a couple years.
Yeah, and the wallpaper, I know it looks, you know, the picture here we got up, it looks really nice. It's a fun design. It's kind of a retro-y. Yeah. It reminds me of like the menus or the tables at Village Inn.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that almost 60s spaceshipy type, pattern. Not the greatest for working with as far as what you've discovered thus far with peel and stick wallpaper.
No, it was very difficult to work with. If you're doing, like I said last week, if you're doing one strip like on the back of a bookcase and you're not matching patterns, you're good to go.
Sure.
If you're trying to match patterns, just be prepared. It will be close, but it will not match like some of the other wallpaper companies, you know, that probably have been making wallpaper for a very long time. And I know that there's a trend now, even those old standby wallpaper companies are getting to where they're having some products in this removable wallpaper type system. And I'm sure that their pattern matches are spot on, but this was something I got at a local home grocery store. I'm not real thrilled with it, but it looks cute. It adds color into the room.
It does. It does look cute. Is there ever a easy to work with wallpaper though now? I mean,
I've never wallpapered. This was my first attempt, and I thought, what a way to do it, because if I screw up, I can pull it off and put it back on.
I remember my mom trying to do wallpaper the old way, you know, when you had the tub and you soaked it, and then did it have like adhesive already on the back?
Some did, some didn't.
Because it was almost kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never applied it myself. I'm just basing this as of what I remember from 1990. Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, I think she used like my baby bathtub, you know, like you'd put in the sink when you bathe the baby in, because it was nice and large. And she would get the wallpaper sheets. And I think she just kind of soaked them there for a second, almost like you'd do drywall tape.
Okay.
And then I believe it was self-adhesive, and then it stuck. But it was a headache and a half, though, to keep it even and up and get the air bubbles out.
Yes.
And all of that.
And I would say now I understand why people that hang wallpaper for a living can get the rate that they do, because they are masters at what they do.
It is.
It is so difficult.
It's one of those things where it looks easy and go, anybody could do this. Like, no, this involves skill. Like, in theory, yes, you could get it done, but could you get it done right? You know, or to the level that a professional could?
I mean,
probably not.
By far, we built walls from studs, yeah. did sheetrock. I've done flooring. I've done trim. I've done you name it. And this was the worst part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Was this peel and stick wallpaper.
So there you go.
Just a warning.
Just a warning.
Yeah.
There you go. Peel and stick wallpaper. Maybe someday they'll invent, you just shoot it at the wall. How about there's an idea. What if you did this? What if you had pieces of plastic that had designs on, and then you could take sponges and like maybe pineapples or something.
That
and you
was could, popular you could 25 years ago.
Borders on tops.
I walls. Had a border in my bedroom as a little girl. It was bows and flowers, yeah, and it was country say, blue and dusty mauve and kind of sage green. It was.
I hope that shit doesn't ever come back.
Cliche as all get out.
Mm-hmm. I remember that was very, you know, it's country. You know, and then there'll be a bunch of like country random things sitting around to make the theme work.
There are ways to do stenciling though that's not
sure
like that.
Not like that. Yeah.
No, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our first item that was submitted to us at junkinwithjenny.com, which you can submit your item or your space there for advice on a future episode of the program. And I was excited about this one. I really like it. It's an old refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I like these things. They're so neat, but they're so damn heavy.
Sure.
I know to disassemble, probably somewhat of a pain, but I posted both pictures here, not just the front of it. And I think they were thinking maybe just talking about doing something with the front or the door or something. A letter says, yes, this fridge does sort of resemble something you'd see in an episode of Hoarders. However, you won't find TV dinners from 1974 or long-lost cats in this icebox. This is my parents' garage fridge. Held up for many years, but now life is gone. I find the ornate designs on it unique and fun. Does it have a life beyond being a fridge? And I would say yes. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what you want to do with it.
I would still use it as storage of some sort. Obviously,
really?
Not storage for cold items. You know, if you have an apartment, then it could make a small pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could even use it for clothing storage in a bedroom, you
sure.
know, like a guest bedroom, just as something kind of random and fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I would try and take the hardware off and paint it.
Mm-hmm.
That or go all out with the rust and just rust it,
yeah.
you know, completely.
Sure.
Just because it's right now, it's kind of in that in-between stage.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think I would do. You know, you could even put it in a kitchen and use it for storage for pots and pans
yeah.
or, you know, Tupperware, whatever,
mm-hmm.
anything. But that's what I came up with.
I think what I would do with it is a couple things, and they're not necessarily cohesive as part of the same project, mm-hmm. but there's so many neat parts on this thing that I think have a new life ahead of them. I would take the door off for sure. And I think I would probably do literally like the chalkboard paint on it, but not a lot of fridges in that era were black. So what I would do is actually do a white chalkboard paint on it or a lighter color. Mm-hmm. You could go, you know, maybe like even like a light, like a teal or something of that nature, kind of fun and retro-y.
Turquoise.
Yeah, that's the other one I was trying to think of. And then I would go with like black chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking chalk paint, I'm talking chalkboard paint. And literally affix it to a wall and make it a family chalkboard. Mm-hmm. You could do a calendar on here, or you could just make it the message board and, you know, the family writes stuff as they're coming and going. And you could just affix it to the kitchen wall in an open space or a hallway, something. And
sure.
I think it'll be a neat piece for that. And it still feels like there's a fridge door here. Mm-hmm. This is kind of neat and odd. Beyond that, the inside, just the designs, the drawers that are in here that are somewhat hanging that are at the bottom of it. I don't know if you can see it with the logo. I'm trying to pull the logo down here for a second. They're neat. I think they might be like even porcelain drawers.
Or enameled
mm-hmm. drawers. And it's just that neat mid-century design in here. Even where it says frozen food on there, I would take all those pieces out. I would be using these drawers for some sort of storage around my house mm-hmm. because they're just neat. Get them cleaned up. Paint them how you want. You probably need to refresh it somehow. And I don't think I would chalk paint these. I think I would go with one of those Rust-Oleum type sprays that are shiny and bright, just like these were once, shiny and bright white, and try and keep them that way. Probably like a fun retro color, maybe a bright yellow or a bright turquoise or something of that nature. And, you know, if I had a shelf that, you know, literally needed a couple storage bins in it, I'd keep them together. So it all kind of worked together. But I think there's a lot of life there with this stuff. I don't know about the ice cube tray. That might be beyond repair. But I think there's just so many fun things on this, on the inside, that are also very reusable and not just thrown to the junk heap once it's kind of being deconstructed. We recently saw a company that does recreate these things.
Yeah.
And that was in Wisconsin. And
it was
a company out of Wisconsin as well. Do you recall any details of it?
I don't recall where the company was, but the store that we went to, they were like a dealer for it.
Okay. And I don't have the name.
No.
But it does exist. And it's not like you can send in your old fridge and they'll redo it. They literally take a new fridge and then put a faux old retro looking cover on it, so you have an old looking fridge.
Is that how they do it? I thought they just sold fridges that were made using that design.
No, I believe it's technically an older or a newer fridge that has been repurposed for a modern look. Because there's like all, you know, there's new rules and standards and regulations of what you can sell and what you can't sell. And I don't believe these would be even sellable anymore outside of a resale market. So I believe it's just repurposed or made to look repurposed old fridges. And I love it. It's really cool. Yeah. We saw that in Ripon, Wisconsin, at one of the little antique stores downtown. But I love that look. I don't know how sensible it is. I don't know if it'd be very sensible for us with the amount of stuff and for people. Right. But, you know, if I were single and 22 again, this would be a fun piece, I think, for a first house or an apartment or something like that. So thank you for submitting that to us. Again, if you have a item, a space you want some advice on, some ideas, go ahead and submit it to us. The website, again, junkinwithjenny.com. Okay, next piece here, or next space here, actually. This is, we'll call it Grandma's House. Letter says, the time has come to help Grandma sell her house. Only problem is it looks like a grandma's house. Structurally, the place is in good shape, but the interior could use some work. Grandma's no longer living here, so I won't have to argue or battle her over moving what. I and my sister have our work cut out for us. We don't have a budget to do much, but are willing to throw some elbow grease at this and a few dollars to help get grandma what she deserves for her home. This is an example of the living room, and I'm showing it up on the screen right now. The rest of the house is in this sort of style. Any tips for staging this thing? And this is, I mean, quite honestly, it almost looks like a grandma's house from 1994. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, the furniture all has covers of some sort on.
Right.
You have very ornate looking rugs and lamps and hutches. And it's ornate. How would you describe this room?
Dated.
Yeah, very dated.
Dated.
So
it looked like a lot of the houses we toured when picking out this one.
Yeah, and it's just, it's the style of probably what your grandparents had, if you're of like 40 and under age. This is probably what grandma's house looked like at a certain point in time. And it's still there. Mm-hmm. And now what do you do to update this thing?
Well, I actually got my start in home design and all this. All this started with me being a home stager. So that was kind of my first thing. And I still love home staging, and it's still very much worth the time and effort to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at this picture, one of the things I noticed was, first of all, the walls are white, the trim's white, everything is very vanilla. So you want to show off the good in a room like this and kind of maybe draw attention away from the bad. So the fact that there is this great crown molding and there's baseboards and it has this, you know, hardwood floor, I would paint the walls a neutral color. You know, things are kind of more gray right now. They're also kind of getting into the cream, you know, color palette. Just something enough to make the baseboard and the crown molding stand out. So mm-hmm. they can see, oh, that's nice. It's got trim, which is an upgrade from, you know, most starter homes.
Sure.
And, you know, take down the vertical blinds, a curtain rod and some plain white shears or plain white drapes make any window look more dressed up mm-hmm. and less dated. I would get the rug out of there. There's no reason to hide those beautiful hardwood floors that are under there. And then you want to declutter like crazy. Get rid of the covers on all the furniture because...
At least these covers.
These covers because yeah. you don't really need, you know, these are like the pet pads that, you know, yeah. somebody's got a big dog that likes to get on the couch. I would get rid of those. Just put them away. You don't need them out for showing the house. And then the tables, I would get rid of everything on the tables with the exception of the lamp. You know, mm-hmm. more light's always good. There's, I believe, three mirrors in that room, which I thought was kind of a lot on mirrors. Mm-hmm. The black one is the most up-to-date looking one, and I would take down the gold and the circle one, and I'd put the black one maybe where the gold one is and kind of, you know, stop over-cluttering the walls, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then... there's, you know, a couch and there's two kind of pinkish chairs and those will kind of work with the light colors. You know, you can't, you don't want to reupholster furniture or anything like that for staging. At least, you know, not at, you know, grandma's house. You mm-hmm. just want to try and make it look nice to get sold. But the ornate chair that's kind of old and I can't tell if that is a wooden eagle on the back of it or
I think
what
it's
it
an
is.
Eagle. I think it's an eagle resting on the top. So when you're sitting there, it looks like an eagle is resting on your head.
Yeah. That one I would put away. I would definitely put that away.
When I sit in this chair, I feel more American.
So the last thing I would recommend is you want to try and draw attention to what you're selling and not really what is in the room that, you know, obviously you can't take everything out of the room, nor would you want to. Houses sell better when there's furniture in them. Mm-hmm. The curio cabinet. There's a lot of glass items in there. If you take out the colored pieces, then there's just the clear glass.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't really draw your attention towards it. There's blue and there's red in there. And if you take out the blue and the red and go ahead and wrap it up and put it away,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes more neutral and okay. less noticeable. Those are my suggestions. And I would kind of go with the same, you know, mindset throughout the rest of the house. You know, show off what's good, kind of declutter so you're not, you know, distracted by the eagle chair or the, you know, bright colored glass, and try and update things that you feel are dated, that most people coming through are going to feel are dated. Maybe mm-hmm. grandma doesn't feel that those vertical blinds are dated, but they're not. They're mm-hmm. not being sold very much right now. People are looking for other things, and simple curtains are cheap and easy, sure. and they go with everything.
It lightens up the room, too, if you
yes.
adjust that. I would put notes around the house going, my last wish is to sell this house to a couple, and then with a blank space, and then you have to fill in the blank of what the couple looks like as they come in.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh my gosh, our prayers have been answered. You're here. Look at my grandma's last wish. It was for you to buy this house. This is meant to be. And then you go into tears a little bit.
And then on our other show, you find out why you don't buy that house. Because... you don't want grandma sticking around after yeah. it's her last wish.
See, you can't guilt the people into buying the house.
No.
But in terms of the designs and everything in here, I agree on the cabinet with the items. That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things you described can be universal not only to this room, they can be applied to the rest of the place
yeah.
too. And I think it's kind of what they're looking for. So I think you pointed out a lot of things. Get rid of that rug. Get rid of the weird coverings that are on the furniture right now. And depending on what's underneath those coverings would be my question, and kind of, it could be scary. You know, if you got tears, if you got like, what's the reason the covering's on there? And I think you really have two options there. You can get economical new furniture coverings that would still look better than this.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be something you probably would put into your house to keep, but it could work for a staging project.
Yes.
And people get the gist of, oh, this is a staging couch. And you could do that, or you could just get some fabric. And if you have some knowledge on that and can measure a little bit, you could cover this stuff and still make it look better than what's there. Or my other thought on this is too, if you're trying to help grandma sell the house and you said willing to put elbow grease into it. And let's say these couches and these chairs are just fried and
yeah.
there's nothing you can do. Here's my suggestion to the two sisters. Take a couch from your house. If you like it, just, you know, rent a U-Haul for the weekend, get some friends over. Hey, we're just going to put this in grandma's house for staging right now. And you take it back to your house. It'll be a couple weeks, couple months at the most, hopefully. And these little steps will help you get this house sold. So if you have to use stuff from your own house, I would say, even if it's just temporarily, your house may look a little empty and weird for a little while, but that may be the steps that are needing to be taken to get this thing pushed out and to stage it right without spending money on new furniture or renting furniture or something of that nature. I agree completely on the mirror. There's too many mirrors here. I would stay with the one brown mirror. And yeah, change up the curtains. That's, I think, a very straightforward thing to do. And yeah, the painting, I think, is great. There is a lot in this room where you look at it and you go, oh my God. But there's a lot in this room that is, oh my God, good as well.
Yeah.
Where you could, once you remove some of the, oh my God, bad, you go, oh my God, yeah, this is not something you're going to find in a new build or a typical first-time home, the crown molding. And there's a lot of nice things to this.
Yeah.
That if you can kind of bring those out and really showcase them and take some of the weird flash that shouldn't be there out of this room, you can really, I think, have a nice place. So that I think we're on the same page there.
Sure.
On how to do some of this stuff, just different techniques and different ways to do it. So there you go. Best of luck on that. If you have questions about staging or anything like that, of course, those are things you can submit to us here at junkinwithjenny.com. That is the website. Okay. Next item. And this is one I had a little bit of difficulty with because quite honestly, I like it as is, but there is always room for improvement, I guess. This is a workbench and this is an industrial style kind of old, like a CAD type design workbench, isn't it? Where you have big papers on it.
Not exactly, because it's not tilted.
Okay, I'm wondering if it does tilt though, by the looks of it.
Okay.
That's where I brought that up because it looks like the way it's structured that it might tilt.
But it can also be flat.
Yes, it's flat in the picture.
Yes.
So it's big is kind of what I'm getting at. It says, this is my dad's workbench. I know it resembles something you'd get today in a store like Restoration Hardware for big bucks or something you'd have bought for at Sears 50 years ago for a reasonable price. It's not bad in its current state, but I'd like to find a way to use it more functionally in my house and not just in a workroom setting. Any ideas?
I like it as a kitchen island. You'd have to put something on the top, maybe a piece of butcher block or something like that. But a kitchen island, if it fits a kitchen.
Sure.
We don't know the dimensions of it. My other thought was, you know, put some bar stools with it and kind of use it as a pub height table with a piece of glass on top.
Sure.
And really just kind of show off the old and kind of distressed state that it's in.
Yeah.
And I think looking at it, there's kind of that piece that sticks up in the back. I think that could probably be taken off. It's probably bolted on there. So you could get it completely flat and use it as, you know, like a pub table.
Sure. I like that. And what I was thinking was kind of along those lines, but for outdoor use. And I would keep that, the back piece on there almost as you have the front end where the stool is right now, and that is where essentially it's a small outdoor bar.
Sure.
It's where you could be the bartender behind it and you can sit there. And it's a nice open workspace too for if you're going to make drinks or if you're, you know, bringing food out, you can set it there, prepare it. And then the taller space behind it is almost like a bar top where you can set the drinks up. You can only really get probably about two stools on the other side, but it's a nice small outdoor bar. So if you have a small patio space or something of that nature, this would work well. It's probably only a little bit smaller than the piece that we were, that we built using the two barrels. So what I would do is, I mean, quite honestly, I like how it looks right now, personally. This is the style I would keep it in. But there are certainly ways, if this is not your style, with the metal, go take a look at the Rust-Oleum products for spraying onto the metal and find one that you like. And then, you know, again, with the wood, if you don't like the wood, sand it down a bit. And then again, find a nice stain color that you're happy with and then meld the two together. It would not be hard to do. And then Then seal it really good for outside.
Of course.
Find a nice, good outdoor sealer. That's going to be the key thing. Don't just stain it and spray it. It will rust away. It will chip away. It will not work. For outdoor use, then you need to seal the living crap out of it. And also do it yearly. At least do one more seal every year to refresh it. But initially, 3-4 coats of your sealant to keep it nice and thick.
Sure.
And so it's got a good starting point. Then every year, just buy a can and go around and spray it up. A nice, good, just see-through sealer. Mm-hmm. Again, probably a Rust-Oleum product. We're not advertising for them, but we like their stuff. That's how I use it. I use it as an outdoor bar. Yeah. I think it'd be a really fun, neat outdoor bar that you don't really see much of.
If you painted all the metal black and then stained all the wood a really rich wood tone, that could be really sharp.
You could do that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would stick with I like the metal. I like doing something with the metal or keeping a metal look, but it's really a matter of preference. There's so many neat things that you could do with this piece. You know, honestly, if I had it, I would probably still be using it as a workbench. Although I would be feeling guilty about that.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, this is so much better than my workshop. You know, I'd be like, because our workshop now that we have, it's literally just, you know, plywood. And I don't feel bad about it sitting the way it does.
Right.
If I had this in there, I'd be like, this is too neat to be hidden in the corner and have crap all around it.
Our workshop needs a redo.
It does, but it's not a place you really go to go, ooh, this is a great looking design. You know, it's more go in there, get the job done and store stuff. Mm-hmm. But we could do it. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, yeah, we're going to.
We're going to.
Guess
at
what?
At some point, yeah.
We're going to have pink ponies on the wall.
No, I don't ever do pink ponies.
I know. If Harper was designing it, she'd be like,
of course.
And My Little Pony, we're going to have one on each of the boards. And
yeah.
That's how it would work. So it's a neat piece. It really is. So best of luck on that. Let us know what you end up doing with that. JunkinWithJenny.com, the website to submit your item or space to for us to chat about here on the show and give you some insight. Okay, this other one here, this is a fun piece. I really like this a lot. Let me get it ready here. Da-da-da. Come on. Let's do it like this first. Antique fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is literally, it's a metal fireplace.
Yeah.
This is a giant, rusty metal piece. It says, to some, this is a rusty pile of relics. To me, it's pure gold. And to a collector, this is also quite a find. I recently came across this fireplace at an estate sale where the home was going to be torn down. This fireplace wasn't even for sale. I asked if I could dismantle it once the sale was done, and they gave me the go-ahead. Now that I have this rusty relic, I'm not quite sure what to do with it. It's unique. Like I said, very rusty. Any thoughts on what to do to give it new life?
Well, you don't have to have it piped in for a fireplace to have a fireplace in a room.
Sure.
I would still use it as a fireplace piece, mm-hmm. but I would put a mantle around it and just have it as a faux fireplace.
Yeah.
Just use it as a backdrop to, you know, they have fireplaces now. You can see them online where people just put candles in them or something like that. It's just mainly a decorative focal point. It's not a functioning fireplace. It's a faux fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I would use this inside a mantle for a faux fireplace just because, you know, who doesn't like the look of that in a room? Who doesn't like a mantle fireplace, you know, and you can decorate it however suits your taste, but people love fireplaces. I would just do that.
It makes one heck of a unique, you know, mantle topper to the fireplace, and then the bottom pieces are the insides pieces where you put the wood.
Yeah.
So I would use those for again a faux piece, and use whatever I could to reuse it. And quite honestly, I wouldn't touch it.
I wouldn't either.
There's nothing that I mean, it looks like how I would try and make it look if we had found it like painted or something. I would be saying, you know, get that paint off of there or whatnot, and then see what it looks like then. And if you need to do some sort of rusty product on it, try and get it to look like this. There's absolutely nothing I would touch on it other than just find a way to affix it, get your new faux fireplace set up, Yeah. You can build it. You can buy it. Find something that will fit it to its dimensions. But it is such a neat piece. I'm envious of this thing. If I ever saw this, it would be like, we're buying it. Even if we don't have a new room for another fireplace, we'll figure out how to make another fireplace somewhere. Yeah.
Well, and you know, the thing is, you can easily build a mantle. You don't have to have any carpentry skills.
Sure.
If you can screw pieces of wood together, you can build a very basic mantle.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, all kinds of ways to do it if you look online, but seriously, that's all I would do with it.
Would you do like a big, like board mantle, like the
beam mantle?
Yeah.
No, I would do a more traditional mantle that probably would have been found around this.
Okay, so kind of like a, I know what I'm thinking about, but I can't describe it.
It's a mantle that has the sides that come down.
Yes.
A traditional mantle, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not just the floating beam or anything like that.
Sure. Something a little more ornate.
Yeah, and really kind of almost picture frames this piece.
Exactly. Yeah. I would go with that too. I love this piece. This is such a neat thing. That's a cool, it makes me want to like go and look at older homes for when they're doing the estate sales and they're like, okay, we're getting, and they're not even thinking half sometimes. I mean, it probably depends on the company. I'm sure there's plenty of estate companies that go in there and go, get this out. But there's probably many that don't either. And they're just like, we're just going to sell all the trinkets. And
well, a lot of them are only responsible for selling the items within the home and not the fixtures and things like that.
I agree. I'm just wondering how often it's just not even like thought of, or it's just like, whatever.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame. You think of some of these old homes, and I just think back to when I was a kid and watching some of these old homes get demolished and such. And how many of those houses had things like this in there that just, so many ornate pieces of history that nobody does in homes anymore that now, thank goodness, we've come to this point of celebrating them.
Yes.
And are reusing them, but we've lost so much of it in that time period of us being kids to try to think our generation coming up and going, stop.
But the good news is people now make a living out of going and finding these things and then selling it. And most of the time, they're still more affordable than if you recreated the exact same thing new or had somebody do it.
I agree.
It's just the fact that it's moving on to somebody else and you're not having to use new materials and create new waste.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many neat things in the past that I don't know what was it? What was the thinking for so long where it was just like moving on from the past? Gone, done, and there was, it's like there was no thinking as a collective about what we had or what the designs were. It was just like, oh, bigger and better. We're going to do this new mid-century modern design, and then beyond that, the next design. And then it was just like the ornate things went away, and then mid-century was there. And then for a while, even that started to get knocked down. But then I think shortly after that is when things started to go, wait a second, that was kind of a neat design.
Yeah.
And even before that's even a neat design. What was the, we don't care.
People just want whatever's new and different.
Yeah.
And a lot of times their want for that overclouds the vision of what can be done with what they have.
Yeah.
You know, and I guarantee people that bought a Craftsman house that was built in the 30s, bought it in the 60s, they wanted to gut it and, you know, put everything in new. You know, they weren't thinking that this was really old and neat. They probably thought, oh, this reminds me of my mom's house.
Sure.
Or this reminds me of my grandma's house. And now people are kind of like, I want my mom's house. I want my grandma's house. I want that. And I want things made to last. And that's the thing. Over time, quality has just gotten less and less. And homes that are built, you know, with real craftsman detail, they, you know, they're worth their weight in gold because things are just built so quickly now that detail and that craftsmanship is not always there.
Was it that where it took a generation of things kind of being put together shoddily? Where it took that to go, wait a second. Yeah, this is new and cleaner and all that, but wait a second, it doesn't hold up like that that did. Like why is my house falling apart 10 times faster than my grandma's house? And my grandma's house is 4 times older, and yet this is still standing in great shape and my house is kind of peeling apart.
Because the mindset now, back then when they were building homes like that, they were building things, they were once and done, and I'm happy, this is what I've always wanted, I'm going to keep this till I die, and a lot of the people did. Now, if you have a room that's been the same for 10 years, oh, society mm-hmm. tells you it's time to update.
Sure.
And, you know, no longer the lifespan of the way things are designed and the way things are put together, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be lasting. Mm-hmm. So why put the extra work into something that's going to be ripped out in 10 years?
Yeah.
Cabinetry. My gosh, that is a prime example. You know, you mm-hmm. can find old homes that still have cabinets that work just fine. They may be ugly as sin, but now if you buy cabinetry, you're going to be probably looking at it to be replaced in 10 years unless you pay the big bucks for sure. the craftsmanship and the yeah. quality. And
that's what I like about a lot of the stuff we talk about in the show is it's stuff where it's, if you're going to do this, do it for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is not just like a temporary fix. Find what you like and stick with it. Yeah. And then it's yours. And then your kids and your grandkids can go, oh, that's ugly as sin. But you can say, I did it for a long time.
Right.
And then you're avoiding the constant changeover every 5 to 10 years.
I my biggest piece of advice is don't follow every trend out there. You don't yeah. have to be, you know, you don't have to be trendy to be in style.
Sure.
You know, find what you love. Picture after picture, every time you see it, mm-hmm. I love that. And find what that common thread is, do that. Spend the money, do that. You're going to be happiest with that long term. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, put Chevron on everything just because that's what's going on right now. And don't, mm-hmm. you know, do whatever latest fad. I put shiplap on everything. I know it's a trend, but I'm going to have shiplap up mm-hmm. until I'm 80 years old because I freaking love that stuff.
And like with me, I like putting up the board wall paneling and
Burt Reynolds' basement. Basement paneling. Yeah.
Do what you love. So I'm
going to
take that advice and this will be Burt Reynolds' room.
You can totally Burt Reynolds the hell out of this office.
The funny thing is I like do what I like in the office in the areas that I have for my mm-hmm. spaces. And then Jenny does hers and I go into her space and I go, I like yours more than mine. I want to hang out in here more than my room.
Well, we can make and then she's like, well,
what can we do? I'm like, I don't know.
You don't know what it is. And that's the thing I always ask you. Well, what is it that you like about mine? You're like, just yeah. the whole thing.
The thing is, in this room, it's a modge podge. We were saying that earlier. But it really, it's more of a hodgepodge.
It's a hodgepodge.
But it almost has to be for shooting. And studios are like that. Mm-hmm. Studios are not going to be like your office. We don't shoot in your office very
we
much.
We should.
And mm-hmm. we're talking about doing that with this show. Mm-hmm. And that would work for this show.
Yeah.
And this show only. But this room we kind of have designed for multiple shows and this or that. So you don't have necessarily, you know, cohesive feel. If you've ever been in like a TV studio uh-huh. or something, you'd be shocked. I don't know if you have or not.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it's nothing like you know, it's just like this small little corner set and then the rest is just God knows wires and
yeah.
everything everywhere.
But I still think we could do what I have sure. in here and make that work.
I think we need a lot of it in here.
Yeah.
There's a certain aspect where it's going to be this corner is for that feel and uh-huh. that corner is for that and not necessarily cohesive for a normal room. Mm-hmm. Like someone who doesn't know what we do would be like, what the hell's going on here? But it makes sense for this, for what yeah. we're doing. But the other rooms where we, like the bar, all cohesive, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Works great for the Facebook Live for the Ghost Show. Your office, all cohesive. And I think would make another good setting for this show, which will probably end up moving into there to do the show in the coming episodes once I get a little more equipment set up and mm-hmm. figure it out. It's kind of, there you go.
Sorry.
It's a stuff. Lots of stuff.
You have design regret.
I don't have design regret. I love what we've done in here. I love your frames behind you. I think it's fun. I just kind of go, oh, there's a neat corner in your office that just, like, how do we film there? How do I do this?
You're not getting my leather chair. I'm just saying my Craigslist $250.
I'm not taking it. No, it's staying there.
It's beat up. I love that thing.
The argument's going to be who gets to sit in it when we do the episode.
It's my office. It's my chair. It's my ass in that chair.
It's probably better anyhow because I'm going to need something a little more, not where I can just recline back in it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be like still pressing buttons somewhat to pull this thing off. But anyway, we have one more item, one more space here actually to talk about on today's episode. And if you have a space you'd like us to talk about, junkinwithjenny.com is the website. This is an outdoor living space. Letter says, I'm not great in the creative department when it comes to anything outdoors. We have a lovely patio space where a small patio set now sits, but I feel it's very underutilized. Where we live, it stays warm the majority of the year, at least warm enough to sit outside. Any ideas on what I can do with the slab to transform it into a fun outdoor living space for under about $2,000? What can be done here? It's like an open palette.
It is, and I love that. Yeah. I love this cute little house that's all brick, and it's got this giant patio that's all concrete, and it's covered. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought of was I would stain that concrete. And that's a real easy thing to do to make something, you know, look a little bit more dressed up. Because that whole, you know, floor out there on that patio, that's all concrete. And I would stain it a darker color and seal it.
And that's easy to do.
It's easy to do.
Just did it this summer to our driveway. It's not something you need to spend thousands of dollars on.
No, I mean, you can do it yourself.
Literally find the concrete stain, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I just want to talk about this step while you're on it. Find the concrete, the outdoor concrete stain, and buy the right one. You can't just buy, like, stain, period.
Right.
There's a special one for this. Get the pump sprayer thing, which you need to kind of spread this thing out evenly. It's probably, like, you know, $40. But you
The one I got was, like, 20.
Okay, 20.
Yeah.
Get that, though. Don't try and roll this on. It's much more evenly done with the gun.
It mimics more of a stone look if you do the sprayer.
Do it in circles.
Yeah.
And just keep going till you have the darkness and the design you like. And then on top of that, you put a sealant of some sort. And the sealant will be in that same area.
Yeah.
Just ask your hardware store person what type would be right for what you want. You can do glossy.
You can do glossy or kind of a more matted, you know, that doesn't shine. And the gloss is going to make it, you know, depending on the texture of that concrete.
Yeah.
If it's super smooth, the gloss is going to make it slippery when it is wet.
Yep.
If it's not, if it's kind of a rough texture, you're not going to notice the gloss anyway. I would just go with the matte and you know, it's going to be less slippery because inevitably there will be rain that will blow in and get that concrete wet.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's going to be one of the things I suggest.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that out there. That's a great way to completely change that feel. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You're talking just the cost of the product, which is maybe for a space like that, $200-$300 maybe.
I'd say closer to two. I think we did our whole driveway and front walk for you know, just a little bit more than that.
You do it yourself, $200. You hire somebody, you're gonna be closer to a grand.
Yeah,
easily.
It's expensive
because a lot of people are very intimidated by it, and there's much more intricate concrete designs that people do, and those folks are worth their money because it can be, if they put a new type of concrete on top of it, it can get very expensive very quick, and it can be amazing, and it is an art. But if you're just wanting to change the color up a bit, which I think would be appropriate for this, give it a little more flavor, you can do it for $200. Mm-hmm. Continue on. I'm sorry.
Okay. The other thing I noticed, that it's great that this is a covered patio, but I hate those kind of wimpy white posts. I would wrap those posts in wood. I would preferably cedar. You know, I know cedar can be like $25 a board. It doesn't have to be cedar. It can be another wood as long as it's sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Cedar's going to probably weather better. But I would wrap them to where it looks like, you know, there's a little bit beefier of a beam that holds these up. And I think there's maybe three of them there.
Two.
There's two. And it's going to add, you know, another level of character and a little bit of an architectural detail to it. Next thing I would do was that fan that's on the ceiling looks like it's seen better days. It's fan blades are bending down. It may have not even been an outdoor fan over time. You know, indoor fans used outdoors, the fan blades will do that. I would just spend the money, get another outdoor fan, but I would get one that contrasts with the white ceiling just to have something visual, you know, up there. If money allowed, I would look at adding outdoor recessed lighting into that soffit. But that's, again, that depends on, you know, where they're pulling power from and everything. That can get expensive quick. That would put that towards the end if you still had money left over. Last couple things I would do, a large outdoor rug, and then I would invest in one of those modular outdoor sectional seatings sets that you can, you know, find one that fits just about any budget. And there are endless, you know, ways to arrange this thing. You know, you can set it up as a couch and a love seat, or you can set it up as a big L, you know, whatever your heart desires. But I have found those to be really great for, you know, large groups, but, you know, it's also you know, kind of nice for small groups too.
Sure. Amazon is a good place to find those. Mm-hmm. Again, not an advertiser, just speaking from experience.
Yeah.
We've bought in two of them now, and they, you can certainly find ones that are several thousand dollars a piece. Mm-hmm. You can also find some that are under $500 a piece.
Right.
And quite honestly, a lot of them are fairly similar.
Yeah.
Just take a look at the reviews, do your shopping, and do some research, and you can find some decent ones for low prices.
And if money allowed, after buying the furniture, I would consider getting some type of plants and planting around the edge there of the patio, just mm-hmm. so you have something, you know, a little visually pleasing there, some landscaping that would just really, I think, finish it off.
Sure. There you go.
There you go.
Is that your space?
It's my space.
That's your space. Okay. Let me pull it up here bigger so I can see it. We talked about the staining. That's about $200 down.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up my calculator here as I go. So I'm going to try and make sure I'm staying in budget. $200 on that for staining.
Okay.
Shop your stain.
Okay.
I like your post. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Okay.
I'm going to steal that. I'm going to add that to this design.
Okay.
So we're talking, and I wouldn't go with cedar. Cedar's going to be more expensive, trying to keep the budget down. But I would stain it kind of that color.
Mm-hmm.
So once your boards are done, probably talking like, you know, probably like, what, $40 a pole? Get your bottle, your thing of stain. You're probably like talking like 110.
I would just say 100, okay. Even.
Okay. Okay. Then on top of that, I like going outside and I enjoy watching television and mm-hmm. not enjoying nature and not staring at squirrels and having tranquility.
And that's not everybody.
I'd like to watch The Walking Dead or something.
You do. And I don't know how our neighbors feel about that.
I do enjoy the tranquility. I'm just kidding. I like turning on music though. Mm-hmm. And we do have a TV on one of our porches. So what I would do with that is, and we'll talk about seating here in a minute, but I would find a nice, old cabinet that's been like a wardrobe cabinet,
armoire,
something of that mm-hmm. nature. Sometimes you can find these things at hotel sales when they're mm-hmm. closing or updating. Keep an eye out for that stuff. And you can find them for dirt cheap. I would not buy a brand new one. I would find one either at a resale shop, an antique store, Craigslist. Craigslist is probably where I go to first. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these are pieces that people aren't even thinking of that they'd want to buy, and they'll go for dirt cheap. It's like, take this off my hand. It's huge. It's sitting in my house,
yeah.
And no one else seems to want to buy it. You could probably find one for about $100.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get that. Something that would fit a TV in the upper, and in the lower, you can use it for storing blankets or whatever. That's what we use ours for. So you got your TV stand there. Then get a TV. A TV that it will be, you know, nice for the outdoors, but cheap enough. You don't have to worry about it if something horrible happened. You can find them online or at Best Buy or whatever. We get like those Roku TVs mm-hmm. with it built in, and they're cheap. I mean, at least in terms of like my sense of what televisions cost when we were kids, or
right.
even in the last 10 years, TVs have dropped dramatically in price. You can get a decent TV for $100, $200, $300. And I would go that route and not worry about trying to wire cable in, do the wireless thing, mm-hmm. use streaming channels, things of that nature. So let's put that at $300 liberally.
Okay.
You could probably find one for cheaper. On top of that, I'd go with some new furniture, and I like your idea on the, modular sets.
Sectional.
It's just a matter of, can you fit that all into the budget where we're sitting right now? I think you could, but I might try and go a little bit lower so I could add a few more things to this. I would actually try and look at some of these, the wicker couches. We have one of those mm-hmm. out here. It's pretty comfy. I'd probably go with two of those and maybe two chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy those for, it was like $100 per couch, and I think it was like yeah. $50 or $25 a chair.
Something like that.
So you can get basically your whole set for about $250.
Mm-hmm.
Add in your cushions. Got to do some cushions out there mm-hmm. to be comfortable. So you're probably then looking around $300-ish. What do the cushions go for?
The cushions, you know, that's probably about right.
So, okay. So I'll go $350 on that. So you're on $1,000 there. I'd add some neat, from pole to pole, I would do the Edison bulb mm-hmm. hanging lights around the edges in a dimmer.
And that, where'd you get that idea?
There is this lady that lives in my house that did this thing on my porch.
Just saying.
And it was neat.
Yeah.
Her name's Jenny.
Okay.
What did that run?
Well, we went with the weatherproof ones.
Yep, you need that.
I want to say we found those for $30 a strand, and I think I got four strands.
Okay, so like 120-ish?
Yeah. But I don't know that they're going to need that many.
Sure. Well, I'm looking at this, and it's almost around, I think, the same size as what we were dealing with here. And for some reason, my math just got screwed up. But I think we're going to be around 1500. So you still got about 500 to spend. I would then, of course, I would do some sort of landscaping here with this. Some plants, dirt.
Mulch.
And that'll probably take you up to 500 pretty quick. There's your 2000 budget to fill it in the way you want to have it kind of nice and filled around. So it can be done. It can be done very economically and have a really nice, pretty space that you want to go out to.
And the more stuff that you hunt and find and repurpose, the cheaper you can do it.
And the better you're going to feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's half the fun. I get so much more pleasure out of pieces that we found on Craigslist or that we found at a reclaimed store or something, and go, I love this. Like we have the armoire up on our other deck, and that's where we have the outdoor TV here, and it's just this neat old piece, and it opens up, and every time I open, I'm like, I wonder where this was. I wonder, how this was used before, and we got it dirt cheap, and something like that brand new would be 10 times what we paid for it. And it's satisfying going, I got this great buy, but it works so well and it's going to last another God knows how many years.
Well, and it looks neat. I'm one of those people that likes, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but I kind of like on a covered porch or something like that to use pieces that are not just outdoor furniture. You know, I like old cabinets outside for storage and stuff that aren't going to be exposed to, you know, a lot of water or something.
Sure.
So it kind of just adds a outdoorsy, indoorsy feel.
It does. And whatever you do, just keep in mind, if the item needs some sealing for the outdoors, again, look at some of those products that you can seal it with, the spray-on thing, and just keep up with it. And the products will last, or the items will last much, much longer than without.
Right.
So there you go.
There you go.
I think that
that's it.
That does. I think that covers all of the letters, all of the things we're talking about in today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. So if you got an item, a space, a place you want some advice on, submit it to us, junkinwithjenny.com, and we'd be happy to talk about it on a future episode of the show, or submit it to us on our Facebook page. Just look up Junkin' with Jenny, the podcast, and you will find us, and you can submit it to us there as well. And again, we may talk about it on a future episode of the program. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Junkin' with Jenny.